Amen. Romans 15. I got put a new shirt on this morning, riding up the road. Happens every Sunday almost, and I know it. I'm riding up the road, got my coffee, hit a bump. It goes all over you. Yeah, give up coffee? No way. No way. Got to have some coffee in the morning. How many of y'all drink coffee in the morning? How many of y'all don't drink coffee in the morning?
Yeah.
He said, oh, man, I was going to mess with Squiggy. He borrowed my van and went to North Carolina or South Carolina. I was going to mess with him and tell him this morning I got out there and get ready to get in it. And I said, man, it smells like a bunch of Mexicans been in here. No. Messing with him. All right, Romans 15. And look about verse 9. Romans 15, verse 9. And folks, you know, this morning, what you can thank God is that you are a Gentile. And you are a Gentile, but if you're saved, you're a saved Gentile. And the Bible says you're in the church of God. And being over in Israel, you see how religion causes such friction with people. And being over there, I saw in the news yesterday, just on the newspaper, I was down at the country store and I looked, it says, uprising in Gaza. I think I 40 dead, 100 and some wounded, over religion, over land. It's a little piece of ground. And the Palestinians say that they took our land, and you got all the is Muslim land all over, that they're like 1,000 times the size of Israel. All the land, and it's just the devil wants that piece of ground. All the religions of the world wants that piece of ground. Why? Because God put his hand upon that piece of ground. Amen. And I've told you before, if you want to get a good book on it, you get a deadly piece of dirt, and that's what it is. Over 40-some wars been fought over Jerusalem. And then you got the Brother Grady's book on the history of Israel. I've been reading that. And then you got the Gentiles coming in. The Jews are hard people. Amen. I went to church over there on a Saturday night, and Brother Morales has a church there, and that church has been established 10 years. I think there's one Jew in that church, and it's a woman. It's a girl that she went to PBI, and her brother's a Jew. They came from, and they're citizens of Israel. And she's back there and trying to, you know, talk to the Jewish people. And her brother's in the Israeli military. He went to PBI, went to Bible school. And they're in the military. He's in the military there. But you don't find very many Jews getting saved. And the Jews, they're blinded. The Bible tells us blindness in part has happened to them. And this morning, you're sitting here this morning, you say, thank God I'm not blind. Jesse's sitting here blind, but he can see. He can see. He can see things that he's saved, and he loves the Lord. And one day we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says the Gentiles. We're talking about Gentiles. That's when we talk about Gentiles, that's anybody other than Jew. And you say, the Arabs, what are they? They're Gentile. They're Gentile. And back up to verse 4. It says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another, another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be of one mind and one mouth glorify God. And that's important, to glorify God and being in unity glorifying God. It's a blessing when a home, you got a husband and wife and children, they're all glorifying God. And that's a blessing. And it's a blessing when you can do that. And if you say, well, I don't have that, well, do it yourself. And glorify God with your mouth. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. The minister of the circumcision is Jews. And Jesus Christ came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't come to the Gentiles. Now the Bible says he's seeking to save that which are lost. But he came at first he gave the Jews a chance to receive him. Now, take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 10. Look in Matthew 10. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, and look at verse 5, Matthew 10, 5. Now, Matthew 10, 5, then these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Now, look here. He commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But he says, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. He said, nor scribe, nor for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And in whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is worthy in it, who is worthy in it, or who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go hence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if not, or if it's not worthy, let not your peace return to you. Let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, then depart out of the house of this or city, shake off the dust from your feet. I've done that a few times. I've done that. Now, I know that's an apostolic thing, but, and you see a lot of people, I've done that. I came, man, people were cursing God and everything else, and they didn't want to hear nothing about it. I just went out. I was a young Christian. I went out and shook the dust off. I said, man. And but, you know, you say, them people still get a chance? This was the apostles that he gave the power to. But then he says, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. So this is apostolic accession, but look back at verse 5. He says, go not into the way of the Gentiles. That was a command. He said, don't go, you told the 12, don't you go to the Gentile, don't even go to Samaria. But guess what Jesus did? He went through Samaria. And the Samaritan woman came out to the well, the woman at the well, she came out, and then he talked to her and said, you know, he said, give me a drink of the water. And then she goes, he says to her, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink of eternal life, the water of life. And she goes, you don't have nothing to draw with. How can you do it? And then he starts expounding to her. And then he, you know, she ends up getting saved, and not in the sense of she believed on him. And so she went back to town and started telling him. And she told her, she said, you had 5 husbands, and the guy you're with right now ain't your husband. So he goes to the Samaritans. Now, Jesus gives, he gave Israel 3 chances. He gave, Paul gave Israel 3 chances, went after him, and tried to get them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That, you know, that showed me. I thought about my own life. How many times God give me chances? How many times God given you chance? He's given us chance after chance after chance. But the Bible says he's long-suffering, slow to anger. He gives people chances. And you say, how long in my life or whatever? I'm just glad I took advantage of it. Amen. I'm glad I did. And because a lot of these guys I grew up with and everything, they're dead. They're dead. Now, as far as I know, I don't know if they're saved or not. But it says to the Gentiles, go back to Romans chapter 15. And one thing I can thank God, you know, if you're looking for something to thank God for, there's plenty to thank God for. People come to church, man, they're all down and out about one little thing in their life, but there's plenty, there are thousands of things you can thank God for. And I thought about, why would the Lord come by my way? I mean, here I was a cursing, drinking, drugging, you know, in prison and all that. And why would he come by my way? He gave me a chance. And some, you know, kids you raise in a Christian home, God's giving you the better chance. He's giving you a great opportunity. And we Gentiles, the Bible talks about the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 42, talking about Gentiles. Go back to Isaiah 42. I recently had a guy tell me that he didn't he didn't like to come to church here because we turn in the Bible too much. Yeah, we use the Bible, and we turn in the Bible. And I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no, you lose me. I said, well, don't mean to. I said, just raise your hand, man. I said, wait, where was that at? If you lost your place, hey, man, I want you to understand it. I want you to get it. You lose your place, I'm not going to say, hey, what's the matter? Are you stupid? No, I was stupid. But if you lost your place, I mean, we'll make sure you understand it. Isaiah 42, verse 6. And I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blinded eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. The Lord says, I've given you as a light to the Gentiles. Talking about Isaiah. Now, if in the Old Testament, if a Gentile wanted to get into heaven, if he wanted to guarantee he's going to heaven, he had to become a Jew, a proselyte Jew. I mean, he had to become and sacrifice to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Old Testament. He just didn't, because most Gentiles, they worshipped false idols, false gods, the Moloch, Ashtaroth, and all these other gods they worshipped. They sacrificed their babies to them, and even in Europe and all over, man, they just sacrifice all. And today they still do the same thing. They're still in India. They have over 2 million gods, and they sacrifice. They burn candles to Buddha, and they put food out there. Y'all been to Vietnam, China? You've heard about places they go in. They put food out there for Buddha, and they're sacrificing to the false idols. They're still doing it, And then you got the Catholic Church teaching that, you know, the church is the only way and they're the only ones, and the Pope is, you know, Pope just came out and said there was no hell. Said, what do you think about that? Don't think nothing about it. He don't believe the Bible. Never has believed the Bible. The Catholic Church never has. So it's not a shocker. And I hope some Catholic folks get their eyes open and say, well, what we need you for? Amen. A fellow was on a troop ship back in World War II, and there was a chaplain out there smoking and drinking with the guys. They were getting ready to go on D-Day. And he's on the troop ship, and one of the guys got around from one boy from North Carolina said, sir, is there any hell? Is there any hell? And the chaplain is sitting there smoking a cigar and drinking a little drink with them, having their last time together. And he goes, oh, sons, you ain't got to worry about that. There ain't no hell. And one of the old boys yelled out, said, well, what do we need you for? Amen. If there's no hell, what do we need you for? And, boy, that was a good thing. Because Jesus Christ, he conquered hell for us. Amen. The Bible tells us there's a hell. Yeah. You know, on Easter Sunday morning, probably I thought about it this morning, the best thing to preach on today was on preach on hell. Right. On Easter Sunday, people come to church that haven't been in church for all year.
Right.
Amen. But anyway, the light to the Gentiles. God's told Isaiah. Now, the Lord's always had the Gentiles on his heart, but the Gentiles constantly worship idols. Constantly go after idols. And when God made a covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so on, and then the Muslims, they try to say that's the covenant that he made with Ishmael. And that's not true. He didn't make that covenant with Ishmael. He made it with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, they all go back to Abraham, but that doesn't mean they're Jews. It goes on, there was a covenant made, and there was a circumcision. And what we just read in Romans chapter 15, look at this. And now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God and to confirm the promises made on their fathers. And the line of the fathers is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and on down. And then it says that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And he says again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. So the Bible now in the church age, you got Jews, Gentiles. It makes no difference what color, creed, anything. If a person's saved, they're in the body of Christ. They're part of the bride. They're part of the church. And I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they came from. If they get saved, they're part of the church. Amen. They're my brothers in Christ. I told you when I was over in, at the Garden Tomb, the Nigerians, they were singing. And they were crying, man. I looked up at them, and man, they were singing and crying and rejoicing. Man, I got weeping and crying with them. Amen. And rejoicing with them, shouting right in the garden tomb. And they're my brothers in Christ. Yep. You're saved, you're my brother in Christ. It says, Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. You know, we ought to be glorifying God for his mercy. We ought to constantly glorify God for his mercy. And as written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Now go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 explains to you how we're into the body of Christ, how we're part of the bride of Christ. And there, and then over, it says there's neither Jew nor Gentile in the church of God. There's three classes, Jews, Gentiles, and then the church of God. And we're in the church of God, and we're Gentiles that got saved. We got in. Now, look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 1. I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid. There's some religions teaching. There's a worldwide church of God. There's a couple guys on TV. They teach that, all right, the Jews are done. Now we're taking the blessings. That's what the Catholic Church teaches, that we got the blessings of Israel, and we took them, and now that blessing belongs to us, and God's cut Israel out. No, the Bible tells you it doesn't. It tells you that didn't happen. Now you say, are the Jews in Israel, are they saved? No, they need to get saved just like you and me. They need to get saved just like Gentiles need to get saved. They need to get in the body of Christ. And it says, have God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God have not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would ye not that what the scripture saith, that Isaiah, how he made intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who will not bow the knee to the image of Baal. And Baal was, they worshiped Baal all the way back in the Old Testament in the book of Judges, and all the way back where Dan started worshiping Baal. And Baal was what the Catholic Church adopted, Baal worship. And Baal worship is a type, it has a female deity. That's where the Catholic Church make Mary a goddess. It says, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of God. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Y'all got that? What then, say, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Check this thing out. You know, it's a scary thing about being blinded to what God wants in your life, being blinded to the scriptures. That's why the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened on you. Ask and it shall be given on you. When you don't know, if you don't know what to do in your life, you don't know where you're heading, what that kind of thing, you start asking God and start seeking. Say, Lord, I want to seek your word. That's the way God's going to speak to you through his word. And God wants every one of his children to know his word. So when God, you want to know a direction in your life, you want to know something, ask God and get in the book. Amen. And the more you get in the book, God will start speaking to you. Yeah. He'll start showing you. And he'll say, you know, and then you'll start realizing, hey, man, this world is not my home. This is just, you know, temporary. And it's not all about how much money you can gain or how big a house you can get. It ain't all about that. It's about serving him and about honoring him. And God will give you things, and he'll definitely give you things. All the blessings come down from above, all the blessings you have, everything you got. Amen. Everything I have, God's given to me. God's done it. He can take it away, too. Yep. Right. One of the most valuable things we have is our health. Yep. It says, according as written, God had given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, on this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes, this is God's people, the Jewish people, David and all the rest of them, saying, God, if they won't seek you, make them blind. God, if they won't do right, let it be a stumbling block to them. These are God's, these are their own brethren. Amen. saying, God, they won't do it. Let it be. Let it be a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, verse 10, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather that through their fall, salvation has come unto the what? Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy. God says, I'm allowing the Gentiles to get in. What do y'all think about that? And see, the Gentiles, the Jews, looked at Gentiles like they're a bunch of dogs. They don't deserve it. Guess what? God allowed this dog to get in. Amen. With all my fleas. Amen. He allowed this old dog to get in. You know, David said one time, he said, I'm a dead dog. If you can get that right perspective about yourself, if you can get that right perspective, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I'm just a dead dog. God, you have mercy on. That's the right perspective, man. So what about esteem, putting yourself up? The Bible says those that humble themselves, God will raise up. If you exalt yourself, God will put you down. Because you start putting yourself up thinking that you're better than everybody else. Ain't nobody in here better than anybody else. I don't care what your bank account is. Amen. You're no better than nobody. Amen. You're no better than anybody other than the mercy of God. Look at this. Let their eyes be darkened, verse 10, that they may not see, and bow down their backs always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Now the fall of them is to be the riches of the world. In the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? I speak to you Gentiles, talking about us now. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I have provoked to emulation them which are my flesh, might save some of them. But if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? If the first fruits be holy, the lump also is holy, and the root be holy, so are the branches. And some of the branches be broken off. Thou being a wild olive tree, the Bible says us Gentiles, a wild olive tree. You underline that thing. It says, we're grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not thyself against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Saying, don't get high and mighty because you've been grafted in and God's allowed you to open your eyes to see things. Don't get too proud. He says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. See, the problem with the Jews, they were so proud. They said, no way God's going to do this. No way he's going to cast us out of our land. No way he's going to allow the temple to be destroyed. No way. Guess what? It happened. It happened not just once. It happened twice. It happened twice. They hardened themselves. And boy, when you get in a place in your life that you harden yourself towards God, things of God, my Lord, you're in trouble, brother. It says, verse 23, they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature into a good olive tree. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. That's another mystery in the Bible. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness, look at here, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So fullness of the Gentiles is running out. The fullness of the Gentiles is coming to a screeching halt. Why? You look around the world, the Gentiles don't want to hear the word of God no more. They don't want to hear it. They said, man, you know, we've heard it all our life. We've heard about Jesus coming back. We heard about Jesus dying on the cross. I've had enough of that stuff. I've had enough. I don't want to hear no more. And they kicked God out of school, kicked him out of the Supreme Court, kicked him out of, look what's happened. Yep. Look what's happened. When you kick God out of your home, out of your church, out of your home, government, you kick God out, brother, look out. It's coming down the pike. It's coming down the pike like a freight train. It's going to run you down. And America, we wonder what, you know, you never hear anybody when you're talking about school shootings or anything, you never hear mentioned about Jesus Christ, about maybe we need to get God back into school. Maybe we just need to start praying. Maybe we need to seek God. And you got, you know, got all this stuff going on. And, but the one that the most important thing that's left out is God. Kick him out. Kick him out. God's, and you know what? God never forces himself on nobody. He'll not force himself on you. Never will. He won't force you to seek him. He won't force you to pray. He won't force you to do none of that stuff. You say, man, it seems like I always, and when I'm in a bad way is when I start praying. Well, the Lord hears you then. He'll hear you. And, you know, sometimes bad ways got to come in your life before you'll look up. That's what happened to my family. Go back to Romans 15. Go back to Romans 15. We Gentiles, we ought to thank God. Jesus told disciples, don't go to the Gentiles. Look at Romans 15, verse 10. And again, he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles, and with his people. I would love to see a Jew get saved. Wouldn't you? I would love to see a Jew come to church and get saved. I mean, a full-blooded Jew get saved, get his eyes open to the truth. You know why? Because the Bible says they're blinded. We've had Jews come in here. I've had a guy come up here and sit on the front row. And he sent me a text when I was in Israel of his girlfriend. She's over in Israel. And sent me a text where she lived. I didn't get a chance to go. She's a rabbi. And he's our mailman. He came here two or three times. He sat there when it was a Sunday night. It was about this size crowd. Everybody's singing to the top of their lungs. He's just amazed. He told me, man, I never heard singing in a congregation like that. He looks around and he goes, wow. I was sitting on the plane with this girl that was a Jew, and I started explaining to her about Isaiah, and I started going through all that stuff. And then I got telling her about what's going to happen in with the Battle of Armageddon and all. And, man, she shut down after that. She just kind of, boom, shut down. Didn't want to hear. And so you think about, I want to see a Jew get saved. I want to see somebody, you know, get their eyes open to the truth. I would like to see anybody get saved today. I mean, anybody. I don't care who they are, Jew or Gentile. It makes no difference. And look at verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. Laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. And there's going to be a root of Jesse, which is Jesus Christ. It already came. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace and believing. You know what? When I got saved, the day I got saved, I couldn't read, I couldn't write. But I knew what I've done when I asked Jesus Christ. I couldn't explain it, but I knew something happened inside me. I knew something changed. I knew something took place that I couldn't explain. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. Now, folks, I'm telling you something. It's a blessing to be filled with joy and peace. You know, that joy, the Bible says, you look up that word joy in your Bible. You know, the Bible says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. If you got joyfulness, nobody wants to see a depressed baby. You like to see a happy baby. I like to see a little baby always smile. I can't stand to see a baby always screaming and crying. We had a daughter, Ruth. She was always screaming and crying. And the reason why, she had colic. There had to be something wrong. When a person's always screaming and crying, there's something wrong. And Ruthie had colic, and we riding up the road, and I'll never forget, all the way up to 6 months, she had colic. She didn't eat anything. Her stomach would just swell up and gas, and she'd scream, and she'd stiffen up and scream. And I remember riding up the road with her, and I was praying, oh, God, watch over my baby. And I remember praying for her, saying, God, don't let me be like that when it comes to having joy and being filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be like that. And I see a lot of Christians walk around, no, they're depressed. They have no victory in their life. You know what joy comes from? It's having victory. Yeah, the Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And people are paying thousands of dollars to go to some doctor, lay on a couch for him to say, I thought the funniest thing about psychiatrists is watching What About Bob? That was funny. What About Bob? You ever seen that thing? It's hilarious. Guy's a psycho walking around. The doctor turns into a psycho. Usually they are psychos already. What About Bob? I laughed so hard when I seen that thing. But anyway, let's go back to love, joy, and believing. You know what? I can stand up here this morning saying I got confidence, knowing I got the truth, man. I got joy and peace, knowing that the book is right. And I didn't say the Baptists are right. I said the book's right. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist, but I said Bible believer first. And I'm glad I got the peace of God that passes all understanding, having that joy, knowing this book is right, that God is right, and God keeps his word. I want to keep that joy. I want to keep that peace. You got to guard that, man. Now, the God of hope, not only that, God of hope, not like I hope so, oh, you know, clicking your heels together, I hope. No, I know it's a sure hope. The hope of God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, the power of the Holy Ghost will help you overcome drinking, drugging, cursing, living like hell, fornicating. The power of the Holy Ghost will help you overcome that mess. I'm not afraid to say Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. And that power of the Holy Ghost, it'll keep you from, the power of the Holy Ghost will keep you from a lot of things. Yes, sir. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. We're going to take a break. All right. Father, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for that hope of the eternal life. And God, thank you for that peace and that joy. I pray, God, this morning, may the peace of God that pass all understanding fill our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray, God, thank you for this resurrection morning that we can come together. I pray, help my brothers and sisters get more established, settled in their hearts and minds, knowing that they have the truth and study the truth and know the truth. And the Bible says the truth shall set us free. And I pray, God, set them free from any addiction, any problems, anything that hinders them from serving you, that they might be able to be a servant of Jesus Christ for your glory and honor. Save that one now. Bless the time coming up in Jesus' name. Amen.